You're listening to Wormcasts by Parabos, a podcast about worms, fluke, flies, lice, ticks, and more. We go beyond the jargon into what really matters and how you can get on top of these costly problems. We'll help you get better production, improve animal welfare, and help that bottom line.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Swanee.
And I'm Ian Campbell.
And welcome to Wormcasts. In this podcast, we're going to talk about something different: parasite control within an organic system. And let's see if it's got any lessons for the rest of us.
Organic farming is grouse, but don't let a worm, fly or louse, because a drench or a dip or a tail fold nip, they won't let those things near your house.
Very nice limerick, Ian. I think that's very clever. Ian, in a previous life, you were an auditor for an organic standards. Tell us a bit about organic farming.
Organic farming is about values. So the values of the producer wanting to produce animal products in an organic system, and the matching values, hopefully, of the consumer wanting to purchase product that they trust is organically produced.
So how do you define an organic system?
Well, briefly, one that does not use any synthetic or man-made chemicals. This is an extensive list, including many fertilisers, drenches, dips, antibiotics, pesticides, some of the vaccines. In fact, most of the things we talk about in these podcasts.
And how specific is the standard?
Well, that's the thing. There are a number of organic accreditation standards, and each body has a slightly different standard. Generally speaking, most synthetic chemicals are banned outright. Probably the only exception is anaesthetics for pain relief, which is based upon animal welfare requirements, mostly around castrating and tail docking, and that trumps the banning of synthetic product.
That makes organic management quite difficult, I would imagine. A life without synthetic chemicals like drenches and dips and porons, how about vaccines?
Well, yes, it is difficult, but some vaccines are allowed where there's a known disease likelihood. So things like 5-in-1 vaccine and those sorts of things are, you know, they're very happy for people to use those in an organic system. In general, though, it's not just the livestock, but the whole farm. Everything has to be organic. The weed control, fertiliser, all those things, even the supply of any feed that you want to give the animals, it's all got to be organic. Consumers understand this, though, and they're prepared to pay a premium for organic products.
So presumably the premium's paid for what's considered actually a premium product.
Yes, obviously the consumer is always right. I should add that the checks and balances around conventional farmers, though, is very strong. With the registration process of their chemicals and withholding periods and residue monitoring, conventional agriculture also produces a good product. It's not about criticising conventional production system. It's about consumer choice.
So do you think animal welfare actually suffers as a consequence of the farmers choosing to chase this premium?
Well, no, it shouldn't happen. All the standards are very clear on this and very strong on animal welfare. If animals have any issue that organic management can't control, then they're obliged to treat with an effective product, maybe sacrifice the animal's organic accreditation in order to do so. Organics is no different to conventional farming in this regard. Prevention of the problem is always far better than cure.
You're listening to Wormcast, a Parabos podcast, and we continue the discussion on organic parasite control after the break.
Worm infection is the most costly disease of sheep and goats, with an estimated respective yearly cost of $436 million. The major cost of worm infection is from lost production. WormBoss provides the latest information about worms and management tools, including drench decision guides and regional worm control programs, to help you solve your current worm problem, implement an effective integrated worm control program, and manage drench resistance. Find out more at parabos.com.au.
If you have any questions you feel we can help you with, or if you'd like to share an experience you've had dealing with a specific parasite, or if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, please drop us a line on the email wormcasts@parabos.com.au.
You're listening to Wormcasts, brought to you by Parabos.
Welcome back. We've been discussing organic standards and how they relate to animal welfare. Ian, how do organic farmers prevent problems when conventional methods are ruled out?
There's a number of strategies. Commonly, the stocking rates are less. There's not a lot of organic wool or lamb production in the higher productive high rainfall areas. They're more likely to be in more arid, lower stocking rate areas with naturally lower parasite pressure, due mostly to the arid conditions. A mixture of enterprises such as sheep and cattle, maybe poultry, cropping, possibly horticulture, this allows for improved paddock rotations and that certainly helps in most parasite control. Utilising natural resistance to parasites by selection of breed or bloodlines within a breed that have been specifically bred for resistance and enterprise choices will also help. But a really, really important aspect is planning.
I can imagine. So can you tell us a bit about that planning?
Parasite management plans are established and documented and continually improved upon right from the start, and these plans are audited. In the plans, the risks are assessed and the method of prevention is mapped out. Essentially, it's an integrated parasite management plan, something all farmers should probably have, not just organic farmers. Remember, organic farmers will be in a more serious state if the plan fails, as there's little they can do other than pull out or you pull out of the scheme and use chemicals. So grazing management practices, particularly cross species such as sheep and cattle, poultry, incorporating pasture species with condensed tannins to inhibit parasites, providing browsed rather than grazed feed, all sorts of strategies come into play for them.
Are there any organic treatments that they can use?
There are a number of organic drenches and preparations that they do use. There's little scientific information on their effectiveness, but I did find some research papers showing the efficacy of a number of organic drenches tested by worm egg count reduction trials, and it varied from around 30% to 80% for the drenches tested in both sheep and goats.
What are some of the products that are actually available?
Most of the products are herbal infusions and include products such as wormwood, garlic, black walnut shells, apple cider vinegar, and even myrrh, which was one of the gifts from the three wise men.
Well, I don't know about the wisdom that they might have been getting from those three wise men, but conventional wisdom says that you need 30 to 80% really wouldn't be an effective drench. So from my understanding, I think to get a product registered by the APVMA or the Australian Pesticides and Veterinary Medicines Authority, you actually require a level of 95% for initial registration for an anthelmintic. But we prefer an effective drench to be 98% or better. So I was hoping there might have been a place for these in conventional farming, but I can't sort of see that happening, and we'll have to look at other ways to alleviate the pressure on our registered drenches.
Organic farmers obviously have little to do with the APVMA. They're not working within that confine of conventional wisdom. Their view is that this is only one string to their bow, and the other aspects of their parasite management plan will do the rest. Remember, if animal welfare suffers, then the requirement is to go back to conventional wisdom and treat with a product, and in doing so, abort the organic status of the animals in question.
What about external parasites then?
Organic systems don't allow mulesing for fly control. Natural treatments such as pyrethrum are usually acceptable, and even actinosad, which is viewed as a natural product, is allowed in some standards. Diligence and getting on top of flies early by physical removal and destruction of maggots and quarantine to prevent the introduction of lice are usually discussed in the parasite management plans. Once again, it should all be best practice anyway.
So some would say that organic farmers are really making it hard for themselves, and the premium would have to be quite substantial to entice me. To do so, I assume they've got to be really compassionate about what they're actually doing.
For most, it's not about the money. It's their view of the world and how we live on this planet. It's about sustainability and their view of the purity of agricultural products, their choice, and good luck to them. Although for some, it can be purely pragmatic. When they have a system that is naturally suited to organics and can make a few easier changes to become organic and achieve the premiums as a result. That was the case when I was auditing. It was in an arid sheep area where very few synthetic chemicals were used anyway.
Yes, I actually had experience of that. In a previous job that I had, a client from a usually very arid area who had a particularly wet season and as a consequence got a barber's pole outbreak, which in her prime lambs. So she'd never seen that previously at all. And in discussion with her, she actually had to resort to using a non-organic drench, but which meant she couldn't sell those lambs as organic, but it certainly wasn't the end of her program.
Well, that can happen, and that's really a good pointer towards keeping a close eye as to what's happening with your livestock. At least in a system like this, the lambs can be sold on the conventional market. When the season returns to normal, the next crop of lambs could be organic, depending on whether the ewes were treated or not.
In summary, Ian, it seems to come back to the old adage of failing to plan is planning to fail. How would you like to summarise this discussion, and what do you think conventional farmers can take away from it?
Well, firstly, I would say that organic farming takes a strong commitment and it's not for the faint-hearted. It requires a good knowledge of parasites and animal production in general, which is probably far from the concept that people have, that organic people are hobby farmers because that's the reputation that they often have. Parasite prevention is the key motivation for organic farmers, rather than parasite control, which can be the trap conventional farmers fall into.
That's a bit of a contentious statement.
Well, maybe. The organic management plans are an excellent concept. In them, the parasite control plans for the farm are documented, timelines are clearly defined, when to do the tests, when to rotate the grazing. It is a great aspect of organic farming, and I very much believe it should have a role in conventional farming as well. I'm sure this is currently sort of there, by the way, but in this case it is written down like a standard operating procedure, if you like. That's one of the things we audit. With organic farming, the accreditation is onerous if you want to sell it as a certified organic. There are a number of people who are sympathetic to the ideals of organic. However, they do realise synthetic chemicals have a purpose and have a role for their particular production system. As such, they might be perhaps cherry-picking some treatments, but minimising chemical use on their farm is a strong goal for them. That's got a number of benefits, minimising selection for resistance being a big one, as is maintaining the welfare of their animals. This is a very similar approach to integrated parasite management, and it's got to be a good thing that people are thinking about these things and particularly doing the research about them.
So for anyone out there who's actually thinking of going into organics, what would be some of the tips that you might give them? Is there anywhere in particular that you've seen people fall down, for instance, and that you might give advice over?
Yes, well, I think you need to study the standards very carefully and decide which of the accreditation authorities that you're going to go with. Be certain that you can manage a livestock enterprise with those constraints. You need to fully understand the parasites and other disease issues that you'll be facing in your animals. You need to develop a practical and effective parasite management plan when you realise that you don't have the fallback of being able to treat them if they have to, or it's an extreme fallback if you do need to do that. Ensure that you have adequate fences and buffer zones, and certainly continue to keep monitoring and check your animals regularly.
Thank you, Ian. That's for something really quite different. I think that it does have quite really strong lessons for all of us too that are not organic farmers. And I hope everyone's found it an interesting view on what we can learn from others.
Until next time, this is Wormcasts, giving you the power over parasites.
You've been listening to Wormcasts, a podcast for Parabos funded by Australian Wool Innovation, Meat and Livestock Australia and the University of New England. Parabos provides information in managing parasites and worms in sheep, goats and cattle. For more information, visit parabos.com.au.